141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for the final match day of 2025 in the top flight. Celtic can go level on points at the top at Motherwell tomorrow after Saturday's win at Livingston. Rangers beat the Steelmen at the weekend, now on to St Mirren at home for them tomorrow, and a few other big games, none more so than a basement battle between Dundee and Kilmarnock. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
And a fantastic week for Premiership football. The games you spoke about there, Gordon, just seen moments ago. We have a big card, 5-game card tomorrow night, and then a 6-game card on Saturday, including an Old Firm game at Celtic Park. It is the time of year for three wise men.
Oh, jeez.
And I want to ask the listeners and the viewers, which of us three is the wisest? The one who ate his rhubarb and custard before speaking, the one who's holding his rhubarb and custard to have after he spoke, or the one who's still got it in his mouth?
Don't know what's better, Scottish football or rhubarb and custard on a Monday night. So
I'd admit defeat and remove mine. That was just not an option.
I thought you were quick with it.
It's too good. I'm keeping that in. But anyway, if you're missing your domestic football, don't worry. You only have 24 hours to wait before we see more football again. But first, obviously, wins for Rangers, wins for Celtic, and then a blip to my title favourites, Hearts. And what was a fantastic Edinburgh derby to watch, it must be said. And let's sprinkle it with a wee bit of VAR drama.
Ah, why not? 01419511025. Bang smack in the middle, really up to you. Do you want to look back on Saturday's games? It's Monday, that's what we do. Or we can look ahead to tomorrow, or do a bit of all of the above. Give us a call, please, on the usual number right now, and let us know what is on your mind. If it is a period of reflection for you, what about that game between Celtic and Livy? We saw lots of attacking intent from Celtic, which I'm sure you Celtic fans enjoyed under the new manager, but maybe not quite as controlled and as secure at the back as you would like against, no offence, the team that was bottom of the league heading into the game. So what did you think about it? Of course, there was a big incident in that game as well that people are still debating at the moment online. The old handball penalty and all the rest of it. The game at Ibrox, well, it was a similar story as well in terms of having a bit of VAR drama in there, if that is your thing. What about the football side of it, though? Rangers fans, clearly Motherwell came in form, came above you in the table. A win, a clean sheet. The best defensive record in the Scottish Premiership now, yeah. Rangers. That might surprise you, given some of the individual moments. So how do you look back on that? How do you prepare for St Mirren tomorrow? And to link those two matches, it is now Celtic going to Andy's Motherwell tomorrow as well. So all your thoughts there, and maybe a surprise one. If any Falkirk fans, I'd love to hear from you tonight, because the club confirming that Scott Arfield is leaving the club. You don't know, it's kind of fairy tale story and coming back and helping you get to the Premiership. But both parties, it looks like, agreeing that it's time to part ways. So Falkirk fans, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Anything else looking back on Saturday, ahead to tomorrow, be my guest. 0141 951 1025. I know, and it's a cliche to say that you don't know what day of the week it is at this time of year, but cliches are true. That's the whole point of them. So let's do what we always do on a Monday night. Your result of the weekend, please.
I'm going to go for Hibernian. I'm not going to say Andy Halliday cursed Hearts by pushing their title credentials last Monday night, but I certainly didn't see the first hour or so of that game coming. 3-0 up, it should have been 4-0 up. The only thing Josh Mulligan did wrong in the game, and it'll be fascinating now to see how Hearts bounce back from that.
I'm going to go for Dundee. I thought it was a massive game for Dundee at Dens Park at the weekend. Brilliant win for them, 1-0, a much needed clean sheet given their defensive foes all season. And they've just managed to create a little separation between them and Livingston, which was a huge 3 points for them.
Goal of the weekend?
I'll go Benjamin Nygren. The second one, not the first. I think I could have scored his first one after Dyson Maida won the header at the corner. Second one, bit of class. He's doing well. He scored the opening goal against Aberdeen 8 days ago. 2 goals from that kind of number, one of those number 10 positions that Wilfried Nonshi likes. And he's a player in form, and he's a player that Motherwell will have to be aware tomorrow night.
Well, when Tawanda Maswanisi left for the African Cup of Nations, he was sitting top goal scorer in the SPL. It would be gutted to see when he comes back that Lon Shankland's now got a 2-goal head start on him, but he still gets my goal of the weekend, because if you've not seen it already, go and watch Tawanda Maswanisi's goal for Zimbabwe today against South Africa. Unbelievable. Picks the ball up at the edge of the box, little fake shot, chop, takes it by two players, then drills it into the far corner. What a goal it is.
I don't mind allowing you a bit of artistic license at Christmas. A goal in AFCON is your goal of the weekend.
Listen, that's what can happen when a multiple player stays in his feet.
Exactly. We'll get to that. What's that, 10 million quid would we say for Maswanisi if you go and score at a major international
for his right
tournament
leg.
And a goal like that as well, you've got to be top.
I tell you what, I was disappointed to not see him play in the first two games given his form, and I think he's done well for Zimbabwe over the last sort of year, 18 months. And then look what happens when you play him in a must-win game as well. What a goal he scores.
Howler of the weekend.
I'm going to go back to Dens Park where I was for Super Scoreboard. Simon Murray. He's been out of the team. He's a club captain. He came on as a substitute to help protect a narrow 1-0 lead against Falkirk, and he gets sent off for a challenge in a ridiculously insignificant area of the pitch on Ethan Ross. It was the only time Duncan Nicholson wasn't sent to the pitch side monitor on Saturday, and you know he's going to miss this crucial game. You touched on it, Gordon, at the top of the show. Crucial game at home to Kilmarnock tomorrow, and probably the derby as well.
You know what he's trying to do. He's just trying to trip and stop the attack. But if you get that wrong and rake your studs down somebody's Achilles, you're in trouble. And your howler,
Vendetta against goalkeepers continues. I am going to go for Dave Richards at Dundee United. I thought it was a relatively routine shot and goal. I think he can hold on to it. I think he can catch it, but if not, you have to divert it away from danger. And he does neither. Spills it into the 6-yard box, and Carlson's there to tap home for Aberdeen.
He did something very similar at St Mirren just 2 or 3 weeks ago. You wonder, see, Kucherenko was back in the bench at the weekend. You wonder, a couple of big games for United, you know, they have a chance at Livy tomorrow in a derby at the weekend.
Or do you wonder if Craig Gordon finds his way at Tannadice before the World Cup in the summer?
Or Jim Goodwin plays himself, because he plays over 35 goals in goal, doesn't he? So anyway, you've both stayed away from a couple of other interesting refereeing decisions in your howler of the weekend. That is up to you. Who am I to tell you that it's nonsense? And your top man, star performer of the week.
Well, I feel compelled, because I gave him howler of the week 7 days ago when he let a Lauren Shanklin shot slip in at his near post at Tynecastle. I feel compelled to give the performance to Jack Butland. If you're going to bounce back from a howler like that, what a way to bounce back. A string of really good saves against Motherwell and a clean sheet to help Rangers to 3 points.
Well, I have Hearts as title favourites, as you know. I've said it plenty of times before.
Still sticking with it?
I'm still sticking with it. And a big reason for that is because I feel like they outwork teams and they outrun teams a lot, and they outbattle teams as well. At the weekend, Josh Mulligan ran all over the top of Hearts. I thought he was outstanding for the 60 minutes it was on the pitch. And it didn't surprise me one bit that when he leaves the field of play at 3-0 on 60 minutes, that Hearts then find themselves their way back into the game. I thought Jamie McGrath as well was excellent, but for me, Josh Mulligan was outstanding.
Okay, 01419511025. Looking back on the weekend, looking forward to tomorrow, you pick. Mark is going to kick things off. Hi, Mark.
Good evening, panel.
How are you?
Hi, Mark.
Good evening, Mark.
Not bad, not bad.
What are you thinking?
First of all, Andy better make sure his team beat Celtic tomorrow, or there'll be big trouble.
Well, according to Hugh Keevans, I've already said it's a guarantee. So
what about that, by the way? What about that? I don't know if you've seen that.
Don't tell Hugh any secrets anyway.
Of all the things that Hugh Keevans has written in his columns over the years, Andy Halliday happens to tell him, I think we'll beat Celtic, which is fine. You're a Motherwell player. You like to back your team.
And I fancied us to win at Ibrox at the weekend as well. Didn't turn out. But
Hugh Keevans column, Celtic will beat Motherwell because Andy Halliday told me so. I loved it.
I mean, if it's that easy to convince him anything, then tell you what.
Anyway, sorry, Mark. We hijacked you there. On you go.
No, it's okay. Main point is they now need to, the new board, not the board, been there 6 months, now need to show the manager what they're all about. Back him. Money needs to be spent. They need signings from this country, and there better be a couple in for the Celtic game. They've had 7 weeks to prepare. Back the manager.
Ooh, you actually think players, as in players in to play in the Celtic game?
Right, there should be one or two that they should be in Glasgow just now. This is Cavana's in charge. He wants to show us what he's all about. It's been a disaster so far through people he's hired, not necessarily through him. So they should have one or two they're talking to say, right, see on Thursday morning announcement, this one signed, that one. They need a couple in, because that Rangers team has no goals from midfield. Start, fix the midfield and get a decent striker in, and then let's see who we can get out the door over the period of the month. But they need one, at least one, possibly two, and for the Celtic game, because this league is open. I don't care what anyone says, this league is open.
It's not impossible. It has been done before. It just feels like there are a number of hurdles. Firstly, can you actually recruit them by then? So that's the bit that Mark's talking about. They should be ready to go. But then secondly, have they trained? Have they been in? Are they down with the game plan? All that sort of stuff.
Listen, it wouldn't surprise me at all if either Celtic or Rangers had at least one new face in for the game on Saturday.
As in featuring in the game?
Yeah, many times we've seen it over the years. Listen, look at
2023, Alistair Johnston, 2022, Josip Juranovic.
Well, there you are. And even in the start of September there, you know, Michel Ange Balak Wisha was rushed in to the Celtic team just as the window closed and played it in the game at Ibrox. So I think someone will be in on one side or the other.
It's all been quite quiet though, hasn't it, in terms of like who that person would be?
But I mean, listen, Mark's right. Rangers have had an awful lot of time to work with Danny Rowell. They've brought in Stig Inge Bjørnemy to help Danny Rowell. We speak every week on this show about the errors the Rangers recruitment team made last summer. Andy mentioned Josh Mulligan starring again at the weekend, Lauren Shankland scoring again at the weekend. Rangers could have had them both for nothing and chose not to go down that route. So they need reinforcements, they need lots of them, they need to back the manager, as Mark says, and I agree with him. The quicker Rangers can get players in, the better chance they have of closing the gap to Celtic and Hearts.
Andy, can you see it? I know it's happened before. Did Rangers not sign Fabio Silva very quickly as well? I don't know if that was that January.
Yeah, potentially.
I don't think it was Celtic that he made his debut in, but anyway.
Would I be surprised? No. But I don't think there's any doubt that they'll be working in the background to try and get the 3-4 players in that Danny Rowell says they're trying to acquire in January. Will it be done in time for them to play a feature against Celtic? Obviously, it remains to be seen. But it was interesting to me when I heard these comments regarding they had to be strong in the January transfer window. I was quite interested to see what he was alluding to there, because there has obviously been a bit of rumour mill, shall we say, for a couple of potential incomings that have kind of split opinions with fan bases. Was he referring to that? Was he referring to going above and beyond again for Andrew Kavanagh to put his hands into his pockets to try and remedy what was a disaster of a summer recruitment for Rangers? But one thing's for sure, Rangers need players. Again, I was as surprised as you guys talked at the top of the show to see that they're sitting number one for the best defensive record in the league, given how individually across the back four, I don't think I would say any of them have had a particularly great season. So it just shows that you've got to say Danny Rowell certainly had an upturn in performances, an upturn in results, deserves a lot of credit for it, but this team needs reinforcements.
So what would you want, Mark? What do you think is realistic? What area? What do you want to see change to this Rangers team in that game against Celtic?
How long have you got? But what we need is we need an attacking midfielder that can score goals. Now, I'm not saying Josh Windass is the answer, by the way, but somebody that can score goals, whether it's short-term to the end of the season. The fans have paid for season tickets. There's still half a season to go. The league title is open. The Celtic defence is an abomination. And Rangers have got the best defence in the country. On top of that, Hearts will go through a sticky patch. No question. So, look, all cameras, all support on Andrew Kavanagh. He's had other people to blame. So he now has been in charge. Let's see who they get in the door. They need decent players. And see, by the way, imagine they went to Hearts and said, listen, we should have taken Shanklin for nothing. See if Rangers were to go and say, there's £3 million, which is £3 million. Do you honestly believe Hearts would turn that down?
I think they probably would, actually. The position, it's different if they're sitting where Aberdeen are sitting, Mark, and they've, you know, nothing really to play for. Hearts have got a historic league title to play for. I don't think they would sell him for £3 million, and I certainly don't think they would sell him to a direct title rival.
Your
for
full
£3 million
fan
pounds.
Base is revolting at that point, aren't they? It becomes. Yeah. Andy, am I picking that up wrong? That would not happen, would it?
Absolutely no chance. If you take, for example, you talked about being a direct title rival. If you take how much revenue Champions League football would bring to Hearts, it would cost a lot more than £3 million. And a big reason if Hearts are to do it is going to be Lon Shanklin. So for me, there's absolutely no way that they part ways with Lon Shanklin.
I could be exaggerating in terms of finance. I think you're also in people will cancel their season ticket territory if they did that. It feels like it would be
I played for the club and I played for the club while Lon Shanklin was a teammate. I think he is the modern day Rudy Scatchell, the modern day John Robertson. I think he is that type of stature to Hearts and the Football Club. He's obviously club captain now. Just look at the goals he scored while he's been at the football club. And I think him, as well as Hearts fans obviously, will be desperate to try and add a trophy at the trophy cabinet at Tynecastle. And they've obviously got a good opportunity this season, but like I said, I don't think there's any way that they part ways with Alan Shankland in January.
Mark, you said the title's open. So you think can Rangers win it, but only if they get reinforcements in January? Is that your kind of summary?
If they stick with what they've got, well, there's no chance. Literally no chance. But if they are clever and they can bring in three or four players with goals, then 100% is wide open. There's absolutely no question it's wide open, because Celtic's defence is shocking. And, I mean, if you look at Danny Rowe, you've mentioned the best defence. By the way, since Danny came in, Rangers would be current league leaders, champions. He's played, I think, 10 games in Rangers' form. If you look at the points, would be top. So, back the manager.
The only, not to be all boring about it, but see, in terms of physically being able to make it happen, I know what Mark's saying, you know, because, and we have seen it before, there can be players out there. There can be scenarios where you are able to press the button and get it done. Miovsky prop filled in the blanks that I had. They said that Rangers announced Fabio Silva on the 28th of December. By the way, something in that, that just because you announce it early doesn't mean the guy turns out to be a good signing. Mm-hmm. Although I hear he's having a good career now. What I was trying to get at was, if you've done your recruitment, you've done your analysis, you've got your short lists, whatever it is, and you say, that's our guy, but the club can't let him go until they get a replacement, yeah, and you might need to wait a couple of weeks. What do? Do you pick someone who's then not your guy just so that you can get him on the 1st of January? I know fans don't want to hear it, and I know they all want it early, but there are moving parts, and that's why otherwise everybody would go and sign players on the 1st of January and have them play in the 3rd.
Yeah, well, you hear managers talk about it all the time. It is obviously a much more difficult transfer window than the summer. Like he says, I think the most important thing is to get exactly who you want to bring in, the one that ticks all the boxes for them. You know, an interesting thing for me with Stiginge, Bjørnaby coming in, he obviously comes from a Scandinavian background. The leagues are actually finished now, so it'll be interesting to see. We've seen a couple of rumours of players in Norway and players in Denmark as well, if that's an area that Rangers are targeting. But I don't think there's any doubt that 3rd of January is massive for me.
You mentioned Alistair Johnson, he would have come from a league
MLS
that wasn't, that was finished at that time.
Yeah, I was announced early as well, if you remember. Yeah. Long,
you know,
before
it, logistically, it is going to be difficult to sign a player who maybe played for his club yesterday or Saturday, and then have him play in the 2nd of January, or is it 3rd? Sorry, like I say, not impossible, but there are obstacles there, surely.
That's how transfers used to work before the transfer window was a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I can vividly remember, you know, Friday nights in the office, and Rangers would sign somebody from Dundee United, or Celtic would sign somebody from Hibs, and they'd play at 3 o'clock this Saturday afternoon. Yeah. And it wasn't, you know, nobody batted an eye.
But I just mean in terms of that selling club being, they can only let that player go so early in the window if they know they've got somebody coming in.
Yeah, potentially.
So that can be, anyway, we'll see what happens. Thank you very much to Mark. Incidentally, what did you think of the game on Saturday, Andy? You obviously had a vested interest.
Yeah, thought we started the game ever so well. Thought we were the better team, the dominant side, for the first maybe 20 minutes or so.
And then Motherwell come into it.
Well, that first 20 minutes is probably a big reason why Jack Butland gets Roger Hannah's performance of the weekend. I think he made 2-3 great stops to keep it at 0-0. But then it must be said, I thought Rangers took charge of the rest of the first half. And then in terms of the second half, I actually thought it's as good as I've seen Rangers in an attacking sense, but Danny Rowe will be scratching his head at how they've only managed to score one goal. I think the last 10 minutes was quite literally a basketball game, and Rangers would find ourselves in 5v2 scenarios and not get a shot on goal. So again, it's just so difficult for the manager, with kind of the lack of quality or the lack of decision making that the top end of the pitch had. And again, we're talking about reinforcements in January. That's certainly going to be an area that Rangers are looking at.
And forget all that, should you have had a penalty at the end?
I think it's a penalty kick, yeah. The reason I never put it as my howler of the week is because I don't see it as a howler. But for me, I do think it's a penalty kick. I've seen a lot of people talk about the feel that Lucas Fadinga's the one that initiates the contact. I don't think he does. I actually think if you see, this is very difficult to explain on radio, I don't know if you want to get
live
a demonstration.
Stream, you can stand up here, if you like.
I think if you see the angle that Lucas Fadinga's running into the box, he almost takes a 45 degree angle to get by Emmanuel Fernandez, and it's actually his left leg that's cutting across Emmanuel Fernandez to dive into the box.
Yeah, that,
and
I don't think left leg hasn't dangled out the way,
it's not left shoulder width. I always kind of refer it to players that are running a straight line and their leg goes out outside their shoulders to try and initiate contact. He doesn't do that at all. If anything, I actually think he tries to hurdle his leg. And when you see it back, Emmanuel Fernandez does leave his leg out. For me, that's the reason there's contact made, so I think it's a penalty. As I said, I don't think it's a howler. I think if David Dickinson gives the penalty initially, there's no way it gets overturned. I think it's one of the grey areas that we get.
Will stand.
I think the on-field decision is the reason that it's remained not a penalty.
Yeah, I'm sort of caught with this. I would like to wind the two of you up and say, you know, it was a dive. It wasn't a dive. Of course it wasn't. But David Dickinson's really well placed. He doesn't think it's a penalty kick. And I believe there's probably insufficient evidence there for the VAR to overturn that decision. It's kind of subjective. It took me back a wee bit to Jack Butland, the Austin Trustee, in the League Cup semi-final, where
the point I'm making is that one.
The referee, it's just the referee's decision. The referee didn't think it was hard enough kick to send the player off on that occasion, and he doesn't think there's enough there for a foul, and the VAR backs him because the VAR doesn't see a different angle or a different perception that shows there is a foul there.
The funny thing is, I think the best angle you see is actually a Motherwell camera in the corner flag.
That can happen.
So it can happen because, like you said, what is it, 6 cameras at Ibrox?
Well, it wasn't a live televised game, so it'd be fewer than.
So
than
fewer, and you know, so stationed. I was actually, again, me and you quite often share texts during the game. I actually text you at the time saying, I don't think it's a penalty based on the replay I seen for behind the goal. Mm-hmm. So I think the replay for behind the goal for me is inconclusive. When I see the Motherwell camera angle, that's where I actually think it is a penalty kick.
0141 951 1025. Get the calls in. We'll speak to you next. 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here. It's 0141 951 1025.
The wise man,
you gone for your, you've gone for your rhubarb and custard now, have you?
Yes.
Are you able to speak to the nation?
Absolutely, no problem.
Nobody wants to hear you and your sweeties over the radio. Okay, whilst they're having their dinner.
Sweeties very generously sharing with us.
I actually feel terrible. I got so caught up in all the excitement and the drama from the weekend. I didn't even ask you both if you had a nice Christmas.
Yes, thank you.
That's it. Nothing more to add.
Nothing.
Any details?
Nothing more to add. No.
There was plenty in the Hannah house, weren't there?
Yes, there were.
Oh, were you hosting?
Yes, I was. Yes.
How many?
14.
Do you cook?
No.
Do you do any cooking?
Do I do any cooking?
No. Did any contribution to the hosting
the
whatsoever?
He does the singing.
You the entertainment.
I charge the glasses.
Not three times.
Bring general bonhomie to the occasion.
That's poor from you. No act of hospitality in terms of the food.
No. I mean, answer the door and welcome people.
Well, it's hospitable, I suppose.
Yeah.
And yours, Andrew Halliday?
It was brilliant. Really enjoyed it, yeah.
First one with the baby.
So made it slightly different, but I mean, it was brilliant.
There's a fine line because it is obviously really special, but they also have got no idea what's going on.
No idea.
And it's like, I know it.
My favourite thing was wrapping paper throughout the full day.
It's a lot of 14 in my house had no idea what was going on either.
That was the end of the night. So it was a success all round.
I think so. What about yours?
Oh, fine, yeah. Again, kids, chaos, late nights, very early mornings. I'm sure my daughter woke up at 10 p.m. to see if Santa had been. Then again at midnight to see if Santa had been. Then I think she lasted to about 6.
Was I know the lengths you went to for Mrs. Duncan's Christmas present.
Always do, honestly. I'm selfless like that, honestly. That's probably because I leave it so late. Yeah, I think everyone was happy.
Oh, wonderful.
Everybody was pleased. Good. 0141 951 1025. Ian, as a Celtic fan, what's on your mind as a Celtic fan right now, Ian?
Oh, over the moon, mate. I've just become a grander.
Oh, well, okay. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Ian.
Congratulations to Nicole, bringing my gorgeous granddaughter into the world.
Oh, what a Christmas for you then.
Wonderful.
The 21st of the month, that's our home. So that's a wee shout out to Lara Sham.
Brilliant. Good on you.
So that's made my year. But anyway, season's greetings to Roger and Andrew. Talking about Celtic, well, defence is garbage. know what I mean, as Mark said at the top of the show. But Rangers, he's a Rangers supporter, I'm a Celtic supporter. The only reason our defence is garbage is because Carter Vickers, Andy, you're a player. I don't think you'll play again this season, mate. I don't know about yourself. No, I mean, you played against Carter Vickers many a time, Andrew. I don't think you'll play again.
Oh, I thought you were saying I don't think Andy will play again.
I thought you said that as well.
Which, by the way, is probably true, but I thought it was just bold of you to say it.
By the way, I'm getting a vague memory. Ian, did you phone in last week or 2 weeks ago and kept calling me Andrew as well? Because remember you referenced it. There's only one person in the world that calls me Andrew, it's my mum.
I've started. I like it now.
Oh,
Andrew. I've been calling you Andrew every time I've spoke to you on the show.
Right,
mate.
Okay.
Because
Carter Vickers won't play again, right? We've got that.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. I spoke. Remember, I said to you, Andrew, I spoke to your uncle at Parkhead. I was sitting with him.
Not be his uncle.
No, it would be.
Seriously,
yeah, I've got an uncle at Spurs. Yeah.
Yes,
learn something new every day.
But anyway, Carter Vickers, we're missing him. And I know you're an opposing player because you're playing Celtic tomorrow night. Thought you were unlucky on Sunday. Is it Sunday he's been playing? Is it game
Saturday?
Saturday. So, Jack Butland, just quickly about Rangers, has saved Rangers. Rangers are in that position because of Jack Butland. Because, see, if it was a good defence, Jack Butland wouldn't be making saves. But anyway, going to Celtic, Carter Vickers, injured. Sarachi, we don't know how long he's out for. Another defender. Alistair Johnston, operation, probably not going to be back to February, March. Injured. So that's three of your mainstay in your defence. Because I think Sarachi's played quite a bit, Andrew, hasn't he?
I think he's played a few, yeah.
And obviously Kieran's there as a kind of backup. He's getting fitter and fitter. But there's a title race on, yeah. And I fear Hearts. Because I don't know what Tony Bloom is going to provide to them in this window, which is just around the corner. A couple of days away. But tomorrow night will define the title race tomorrow night. I'll tell you now, you've got some great players in that team, Andrew, including yourself.
I predict, I just said to the guys during the break, Ian, I predict a potential game of the season tomorrow night.
Why have you done that?
Listen, because I think if you're a football purist and you like to see football played in a certain way, I think it will be played tomorrow night. It's going to be two teams that are trying to win the game. I think it'll be open. I think there'll be plenty of chances. I think it'll be a brilliant game.
Game of the season contender.
Wow.
Look, Ian's kind of point is Celtic's defence is maybe struggling just now because of the absentees, which is undeniably true. But as Ian also alluded to, it's not going to change anytime soon. So what is that? Does this system just grin and bear it for now? How quickly can you do the business in January? All that sort of stuff. Because actually, as good as Carter Vickers and Johnston may be in this system, it's just not. It's not relevant at the moment because they're long term. No. On a side note, every manager's got their own style. It's not a criticism of Wilfried Nancy, but he doesn't really do injury updates in any detail. Yeah. So I actually don't know when Sarachi's back. He also seems, I'm sure last he asked Iheanacho as well, he just kind of said, you know, wasn't sure yet.
And there's long term guys like Jota and Callum Osman. We don't know about Hitati. He's not been involved in the last couple of games either.
He was on, no, he came on at the weekend.
Did he come on at the weekend? Too many days, too many games, Gordon. But no, you're right. One thing we do know is that he has wed to this system. He doesn't appear to be changing the system at all. And players are just going to have to fit into the system. You know, I don't think right centre back's perfect for Anthony Ralston. I don't think right wing back's perfect for Yang. So guys are just going to have to get on with it. I agree with Andy. I think it will be a cracking game tomorrow night. And I think your manager, James Bertolascu, will have a go.
See, because it's so early, you know, it's still only a few games in, Andy. It feels like it's easier to just base Celtic performances on, you know, have they been good? Have they been bad? Has it worked? Has it not worked? But maybe what you sometimes don't take into account is what do the opposition do? How do they play? And what type of opposition does it suit? Mm-hmm. You know, so as an example, yes, Celtic were excellent against Aberdeen, but maybe Aberdeen also couldn't do the things that St Mirren did or Dundee United did. Yeah. And at the weekend, it was, again, probably better in the first half than it was in the second, which is quite a theme for Celtic at the moment. Maybe that Aberdeen game aside. So it feels like we still need to see a bit more to know, like, to be sure whether it's going to work or whether it's not. Because there's been glimpses clearly, but there's also been things that don't don't look clever.
Yeah, and listen, I think all the Glimpses have been in attacking sense, and I see already within what's he been in charge now, 5-6 games, I already see regular patterns they look to do in possession that I think are, to be honest, working pretty well. And like for last part,
educate Roger and I.
So I think they try and overload the middle of the pitch. They'll try to play little diagonal passes through the middle of the pitch to try to commit loads of bodies into the box. They try and work their way into the wider areas and, you know, cross it for that Kevin De Bruyne space that I call it, that kind of half space to try and cross into the back post. And you know, you've seen over the last 2-3 games, you try and get a lot of runners in behind as well. But everything I've just mentioned there is in possession. I still think out of possession, they've not quite found, whether it's the, you know, the right formula or right personnel or whatever it may be, I think they still look a wee bit too fragile at the back. We're talking about a Livingston side, with all due respect, that have won one game this season, struggled to score goals, score 2 goals within 10 minutes, and to be honest, probably should score at least one more in the second half. So I don't think they're controlling games as much as they'd like. They're certainly conceding far too many goals, but I think there's enough to suggest in an attacking sense that signs are starting to show and starting to work for Wilfred Nancy. But I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, we talked about joining the transfer window for Rangers. I don't think there's any doubt it's the same for Celtic, same for Hearts. I think everyone envisages probably the busiest January transfer window that we've seen in Scotland.
Let's thank Ian and bring in Andy, who's on a similar theme. Good timing, Andy. Take it away.
I wouldn't mind if you called me Andrew this evening, Gordon. I'll tell you, it's a couple of wee things. I agree with Andy there. The game tomorrow night's massive. Even just psychologically, for Celtic not having a great start to the season, Hearts being lauded, quite rightly so. But Celtic can go into the opening of the transfer window even on points. I think psychologically it says a wee bit, and Celtic need to invest. For me, I think at the moment, I'm going to contradict myself a wee bit here, right, but two parts to this. I would personally accept us bringing in on loan a right-sided centre-back and a striker as long as they were very, very top pedigree. However, I'm contradicting myself by saying I think the board have backed themselves in a corner, as much to say as they've got an awful lot wrong in terms of timing the transfers and stuff like that. And there's obviously some protests and stuff that are happening, right? So I think they've put themselves in a position that they need to do something significant, right? I'm wondering whether or not there's a possibility that Celtic will get, maybe bring in a couple of big loans. But might think that the next season there's one. Gordon, I'm going to ask you this actually, with your contacts at Sky and stuff like that. Is there any possibility Celtic could get Andy Robertson?
Oh my goodness, I think first of all I would know absolutely nothing about that, Sky or not, and I think the answer would need to be no. Yeah, am I wrong in thinking it would be hard to tempt away someone who is a key member of Liverpool's starting?
I think to bring him in on loan would be a real shock. I think when his contact inevitably runs out of Liverpool at some point, I think he's a big Celtic fan. I'm sure he'd love to come back and play for Celtic. So I think then it would be a possibility. But I think a loan move in January, that would be a shock.
Yeah. Sorry, Andy. I think we need to burst your bubble on that one. Where are you at overall, Andy, in terms of like satisfaction at where Celtic are at the moment and how they're playing?
As Andy said a second ago, when they've got the ball, they look more dangerous with the sort of underlapping runners and stuff like that. When they're passing forward, they're going to hit different lines and stuff, which is a wee bit difficult, I'm pretty sure, to defend against. Defensively, it's horrendous. I'll stick by what I said. I don't think that Wilfred Nancy earned the right to get the role that he got. He's not got the backstory or back experience to justify that. However, he's now in the post, and there's definitely been progress on the ball going forward. However, It looks like a catastrophe waiting to happen. So without having certainly the right sided centre back, if he continues to play that shape, it looks.
Andy, our own David Friel broke a story this afternoon in the Scottish Sun Online that Celtic are looking to bring in Bournemouth defender Julian Arroyo on loan in the January window, a right sided defender, predominantly a right back in his career. He's played in the States, he's an international for Mexico, he cost £9 million for Bournemouth, and we believe Wilfred Nancy sees him as the right-sided defender in the three, if you like.
See, just a quick one, can we now assume that Jamai Simpson-Pusey maybe isn't actually as good as people thought, and it wasn't just a Brendan Rodgers blind spot? Remember, it was something that used to get levelled at Brendan Rodgers, surely. Yeah, I think everything that's going on at the moment, if he was if he could contribute in any way, surely he'd have been given an opportunity.
Listen, three managers have been there now. I take you back to the remarks of Martin O'Neill.
He played him at right back in one of the games, didn't he?
Played him at right back and said he considered taking him off after 4 minutes. He took him off eventually, I think, after about 75. He said the crowd applauded him. I'm not sure I did, was what he said. So it was kind of, he was joking. Of course he was joking, but I think Jamai Simpson-Pusey will head back to Manchester City next month and head out and loan somewhere else.
Okay, thank you very much to Andy on the line. It's time for us to ask you to keep getting the calls in. Do it right now if you can, and we will run this past you. The clock is ticking for your chance to win a whopping £777,000. That is an unbelievable amount of money on Make Me a Winner. Turn 2026 into your best year yet. Get in that draw today. If you want 15 entries into the draw, text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll also find the rules for this network competition. You can call 03434 269 340 and you'll find the calls charged at a standard rate. As always, it is over 18s only. The lines close at 3 p.m. on Hogmanay. Do not miss out. Somebody, one person, will win £777,000. It might as well be you. Answer the call. The cash would be yours straight into your account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025. And it is good luck from us.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy, Andrew Halliday and Roger. Roger Hanna here. Oh, speaking of which, actually, I did say I would launch a small investigation.
I'm aware of this.
Into this. I don't know if you've, oh, you are aware.
So, inundated.
Inundated. So I got a tweet from Jamie_1872, unclear who he supports, with a golf ball. He says, does Roger want his ball back? And it is, that was back, just in case you're wondering. And the golf ball, and it says Roger Hanna on the side with a wee RH.
That's it.
You seen it? Look at this.
Is that a logo?
It's a nice wee.
I can explain all.
So, two things. Do you, is that your golf ball? And do you have your own logo on your golf balls?
But I know who does. And Rangers are involved in this story.
What?
When.
Now I'm invested.
I went to Manchester to cover the 2008. UEFA Cup final.
I heard about that one, yep.
Rangers against Zenit. And we stayed in apartments in the city centre and come down the first morning there, and some of the apartments were for let or for sale, and there was an enormous big sign at the front door, and it was by Manchester's biggest property company, Roger Hanna Property.
Were you staying in it?
And we were staying in it.
Brilliant.
And I got my picture taken by a photographer with the Roger Hanna logo, the same logo that's in the golf balls. So if anyone Googles my name, it's not me that comes up first. It's Roger Hanna, Manchester's biggest property tycoon.
I disagree. It's what team does Roger Hanna really support that comes up? I've done that a few times.
But
I'm delighted with that because
it's the golf ball. That's the same logo.
So because not only have we tried to establish this, the fact that you actually know who the logo does belong to, if not yourself, I'm quite impressed with that. Just imagining that. Yep, indeed, there you are, Roger Hanna. I'm just imagining the scenes in the Roger Hanna office in Manchester. If somebody else, by the way, you were getting discussed on a Glasgow football phone in last night. Bit of free advertising for them. Other letting agents are available. Am I obliged to say that?
Probably not in the Manchester region. No,
I think
he seems to have the market cornered.
I think we'll get away with it. I was gutted there. I thought you had designed and commissioned your own logo. I didn't even think you were much of a golfer.
No, I'm not.
But then that would explain why you had lost the golf ball.
Yeah, maybe.
So there we go. Speaking of our resident golfer, have you heard from him?
No,
because I was off.
Yeah.
I was working elsewhere at the weekend. I understand he was sick after Christmas. I shouldn't laugh in case it's anything serious, because I actually haven't looked into it yet.
Spoke to him. Delete
this from the podcast if it is anything serious. But he wasn't well. Wasn't here.
It's very unlike him. I wish him well. If he's listening, I hope you're on the mend, Daz.
So I gave him a quick message, asked him if he is, see if he can get a reply before
he replies. I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll be listening intently, as always, doing his research. Right, Davey is on. Oh, he called off his podcast with Stephen Mill today as well. Oh, maybe it's serious. I'll need to take that back.
Oh,
this will sound terrible.
Do you think
he's struck down?
I'm maybe putting two and two together. Do you think he's overindulged after winning the quiz? A historic event.
I would not and like to speculate.
The lifetime of SSB. How about that?
Honestly, right, if you've not watched the quiz back, please do. It's on YouTube or listen to the podcast. It was brilliant. And he eventually did win. He was shaking. He was physically.
Well, my plan was to watch it back.
Fantastic.
But now you've just best told ever. Me.
Who wins?
Winner.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Oh, did you not
believe it?
Did you not know?
I've been avoiding everything that I've been able to watch.
You avoided the phone call during the quiz.
I know.
He's putting his baby to bed.
I apologise for that.
No, but listen.
You told me what the question was. I wouldn't have called
it. It's still worth it because there's a few twists and turns that you won't foresee. But he was shaking like a leaf trying to write down his final answer. He's taking it really seriously.
I spoke to a man who might be described as your gaffer, who helped out in the quiz, the Motherwell chief executive, Brian Caldwell, who correctly identified.
You're not going to spoil it again for him.
I've already made one mistake. The 1971 Christmas number one was Benny Hill with Ernie, which is a story about a milkman and blah. You play it in the car on the way home. And I texted Brian after he went off the show to say, I can't believe you got that with Ernie, the fastest milkman in the West. And he came back and says, it's actually the fastest milk cart in the West. So there's a man who knows his pop trivia.
Or knows how to work Google. Anyway, Davey is on the line. Hi, Davey.
Evening, guys.
How are you?
I'm fine. I spoke to a couple of weeks ago, Gordon, that was before the Celtic Aberdeen game, about Wilfred Nancy, saying I'm going to get when I was really prepared to give a chance. Having been at the Aberdeen game, and you'd asked me if would I be booing the guy, there was no atmosphere. It was like a pre-season friendly. You could actually hear the players shouting on the park to each other. So the point being, I want to make is there any possibility for the board and the fans to get together and get this resolved before Saturday? Because they'll need some atmosphere on Saturday against Rangers. I was watching a podcast, Frank McAvenny's podcast, and Molly Hawkey was on it, and he said they need to get together. There needs to be a bit of unity. I could also ask Roger, has he heard anything at all about any signings coming in?
Roger, Davey might not have caught it in the previous call. Yeah. Quickly remind us of what you said earlier.
Julian Orojo, a Mexican international right-sided defender who's currently at Bournemouth, is a target for a loan move in January. Our own David Friel sort of broke the story in the Scottish Sun online this afternoon. Davey, I think he's played most of his career at right-back. I think he's maybe viewed as a right centre-back by Wilfred Nancy, so he's one that Celtic are keen on.
Davey's other question seems a bit more complex. It might be the season of goodwill. It might soon be time for New Year's resolutions and extending olive branches to those that need it. Does that go as far as the Celtic board and the Celtic fans getting on the same page, though?
I'll split Davey's question in two because he said you need the atmosphere. The atmosphere will come on Saturday regardless of what happens, Davey. You've been at enough of these occasions to know that. Regardless of anything that has come before, the place will be bouncing ahead of the visit of Rangers on Saturday lunchtime.
What about generally though? Because you're right, that's fine, that fixture speaks for itself. But what about generally?
Generally, there doesn't appear to be a lot of movement on either side towards fixing this at the minute. There seems to still be deep division involving a section of the Celtic support, but a reasonably sized section of the Celtic support and those running the football club. I'm not sure, and I know, you know, Willie Hawkey mentioned it last week. I think a lot of people would like there to be some successful resolution to this. I'm not quite sure where that resolution would begin, because when you take into account, you know, the scenes at the AGM, the protests outside the ground, the protests inside the ground, the ban in the Green Brigade, there's an awful lot of ground to cover in there before there's any sort of, you know, meeting in the middle.
Is this why, Andy, it still feels a bit delicate at Celtic? Wilfred Nancy's done well and now got two wins, but it still feels like one defeat would then set that back. And it still feels like that the thing with the fan and the board, Davey says, is still sort of bubbling away. So Aberdeen was good, Livy's good, you know, can go level at the top tomorrow. But it still feels like that could all go backwards quite quickly.
One defeat, one protest, one bad signing in January. It just doesn't feel as if the relationship between club, fans, players, manager, board has quite got back to what it once was, shall we say, over a few years ago. So I think Celtic are in a much more promising position than they were 2 weeks ago. But as you quite rightly said, I think it's still got a long way to go. I don't think that will affect the atmosphere on Saturday at all. I think everyone, well, fans for both sides realise how big a game this is going to be for both clubs at the weekend. But yeah, like you says, I'd be more leaning towards the January transfer window more than anything, to see how fans react to what's going to be obviously a huge window.
It's going to be, listen, it's going to be a huge week. We always say, oh yes, it's a huge game. This week for the two managers, you know, Wilfred Nancy has had a difficult time, you may have noticed. If he could win at Motherwell and win the derby, suddenly huge doubts about him would be smoothed over. Equally, if Danny Roll can get another horrid 1-0 at home like he did on Saturday, if he gets one of them against St Mirren tomorrow night and wins at Celtic Park, I've always been really sceptical about Rangers' involvement in a title race. If he wins two games this week, Rangers are in the title race.
Thank you very much to Davey, and right on time, let's move on to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
This will be one of the final Beat the Pundit, will certainly be your final Beat the Pundit of 2025, Roger Hannah or Andy Halliday. So let's see if we can get a famous win for the listeners. 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here. Give them a call. 0141 951 1025. We can look back on Saturday's action. What was good about your team? What was bad about your team? Were there any refereeing decisions that annoyed you? All the usual fun on a Monday evening. The beauty of this Monday is we've got huge games to look forward to tomorrow as well. And on the subject of looking forward, people are already phoning in wondering about the January window, just a couple of days away. Can early business be done? And what does your team need? Get all your thoughts in on that sort of stuff. And if you just want to call and ask Andy and Roger about their Christmas dinner, you're welcome to do that as well. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, the final game for Andy Halliday or Roger Hannah of 2025. Sterling's in the south side. How are you, Sterling?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
How would you rate your chances? Out of 10, what are you giving yourself?
1.
Oh, dearie me. Oh, come Sterling. On. Get a bit more better fighting talk than that. He's written himself off completely. How's the form, you two? I assume you always just win, don't you? Mostly. Oh, no, Roger, you haven't played since you lost, actually, on the 17th of December.
Who Robert in?
It was against two people, it doesn't count.
It does count.
Three people.
It absolutely counts.
How did the last night's Beat the Pundit go?
I believe
controversy.
There's a major VAR inquiry going on, but the man in question is not here and will be back tomorrow night, so I think I'll just leave it be for now. But
I'll definitely be tuning in.
It could be significant. That's all I'm going to say. The blue side of the coin, Sterling, will be for Andy Halliday, and the red side will be for Roger Hannah. So let's see how we go with you two. It is, how many in a row have you played?
Oh, is that
a good few?
It's blue.
Definitely a good few.
Well, you used to complain when you didn't play, so come on.
I know. I actually hardly played at all at the start of the season. It was weeks.
We're making up for it now. Sterling, I will give him something else to listen to. You have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yep, no problem.
Good man. 30 seconds going on the clock and your time starts now. Which country did Scotland play the most in 2025?
Denmark.
Name any championship manager who's not Scottish.
Pass.
Who scored more professional career goals, Marvin Bartley or Dylan McGeoch?
McGeoch.
Rangers sold Calvin Bassey to which club?
Ajax.
Which Celtic manager signed Stylian Petrov?
Strachan.
Which Scottish club is nicknamed the Blue Brazil?
Inverkeven. No, it's Hilton Beef.
Right neck of the woods. Okay, let's bring back Andy Halliday. Can you hear us?
Yep.
Good. Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock for the last time this year. Your time starts now. Which country did Scotland play the most in 2025?
Denmark.
Name any championship manager who's not Scottish.
Fallacari.
Who scored more professional goals, Marvin Bartley or Dylan McGeoch?
McGeoch.
Rangers sold Calvin Bassey to which club?
Ajax.
Which Celtic manager signed Stylian Petrov?
Martin O'Neill.
Which Scottish club is nicknamed the Blue Brazil?
Cowden Beef.
Mighty Mo is the mascot of which Scottish club?
Montrose.
Who wears number 15 for Hibs?
Big Raff.
Spell Lundaloo.
N-L-U-N-U-L-U.
No, but anyway, never mind.
What a terrible question.
You were nearly there. You were nearly there. Sterling, how do you think it went?
They were tough, ain't
they? They were.
I think my 1 out of 10 was accurate.
Well, let's find out. Let's
they
go through
tough them. Though
but disappointed in you both for question number one. Greece. Uh-huh. Been four times. How many Nations League and aye. The qualifiers? Come on. I know Denmark was the one that sticks in my
apologies.
Memory. It was Greece 0-0. Name any championship manager who is not Scottish. Neil Lennon is, of course, from Northern Ireland. If we're going by football nationality, Aaron Taylor Sinclair of Airdrie is from Antigua and Barbuda. Yeah, okay. Simo Vallecari is the easy one. Finish. Andy Halliday goes 1-0.
If Marvin Bartley has scored more goals than Dylan McGeoch.
Well, you both went for the obvious. You both went for Dylan McGeoch to score more career goals.
No way.
Than Marvin Bartley. What if I told you that Marvin Bartley not only has got more career goals than Dylan McGeoch, he's got nearly double.
Oh, I am texting Dylan McGeoch at 5 past 8. No, that is
mental. You don't want that in your CV. 6-11. I actually find that genuinely hard to believe. I want somebody to double check that. It's that unbelievable for me. But anyway, none of you got it right. Rangers sold Calvin Bassey to Ajax in 2022. I just wondered if somebody would forget and go for the old kind of Fulham one. But of course, Ajax in between. You both got it. 2-1, Andy Halliday. The Celtic manager who signed Stylian Petrov.
John Barnes.
It was John Barnes. It was 1999. Because it took him a while, didn't it, to get sort
yeah,
of...
Yeah, John Barnes played him at right back.
Prominent. And he was... What's my favourite Stylian Petrov anecdote? How did he learn English? How did he brush up in his English when he first came to Celtic?
I can't remember this.
No?
No.
Working in a burger van.
Oh, I do remember this. Now you say it. Yes, aye.
He was. I think he says he was eating a lot of the stuff from the burger van and that's why he wasn't in the team at first. And then he was brushing up in his English. So there we go. None of you got that either. Which Scottish club is nicknamed the Blue Brazil? Oh, Sterling, I have to accept your first answer. You at least knew
that. That was my youth team when I was younger. That's who we used to play against all the time in the town or something.
Unbelievable. Out of sympathy, I'll try and give you it because you did know it was Cowdenbeath and Andy Halliday didn't.
No? I said Cowdenbeath.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Stretching ahead. I'm trying to take them off him now. And Mighty Mo is the mascot of Montrose.
Nice. That was a good educated one with the old Mo.
Yeah.
Number 15 for Hibs.
Oh, sorry. 15 for Hibs, I guess. Grant Hanley,
Jack Iredale.
See squad number. I hardest thing in the world for that.
You were close. Lundaloo. N-L-U-N-D-U-L-U. Lundaloo. You missed out the kind of obvious bit and you never said the D.
Never said the same.
That's the easy bit.
If it'd been Vindaloo, you'd have got it.
I know it's got a D in it as well. It's
anyway, it wasn't enough.
Terrible question though.
It wasn't enough. 1, 2, 3, 4 for Andy Halliday. And we'll call it we'll call it 1.5, Sterling. I'll try and give you half for Cowdenbeath.
I've been guarding DL before, but I think they're trying to take on Andy and Rogers a bit.
They were tough, Sterling. I get it right for you.
Who's your team, Sterling?
Rangers.
Was it a deserved win over Andy Halliday's Motherwell at the weekend?
I think so. I think after about 20 minutes, I think we took control. And I think Barron was brilliant. As soon as he started nicking balls off them, in the sort of Motherwell's defensive third, I think we kind of took control quite a lot of the game then. And like Andy said earlier, it did turn into a bit of a basketball game, but seeing more shots on target, more XG, kind of, I think everything you would look for in a Rangers performance, apart from putting the ball in the net.
Did you maybe see, you can always kind of spin these things, Sterling's right, Andy, I wouldn't, as much as I'd love to, the stats point, I think, certainly to the Rangers either. You've probably been the better team. I think that by the end, for you from a Motherwell perspective, can show the importance of being able to take chances early on, because maybe then those stats don't get to play out that way. If you're the team that starts the game and dominates the game and has the best chances early on, especially going to Ibrox, it doesn't matter that the food chain in Scottish football has not changed that much. If you're going there, you're still underdogs. You can't probably pass up those chances early on, can you?
Yeah, and everyone knows, you know, what it means to be a player going away to Celtic Park, going away to Ibrox, and how much the fans can play their part. If you go 1-0 up in a period where you're dominating the game, you know how that can turn the atmosphere, turn players' mentality, and like he says, you know that Rangers are going to have periods of the game where they're going to create chances and have a lot of the ball, and that's what turned out to happen. I think out the sort of 2-3 chances, you look back at Lucas Verdinger's one is a really big chance. I think he strikes it ever so well, but just close enough to Jack Burling to make it fairly routine for him, but didn't make it count.
Well, Callum Hendrys, I thought it was the best save, no? In the second half?
Yeah, but I don't... Oh, in the second half, sorry, yeah. Yeah, I thought you meant in the period, because the first sort of 20 minutes as well, but I think that's a difficult one. He's stretching. He's, I don't know, Jack Butland comes out and makes himself big. But yeah, certainly the one in the second half is probably the best save out of the bunch for Jack Butland.
Was Conor Barron worthy of Sterling's praise?
Yeah, and I just wonder at what point is it going to be fashionable to just admit Conor Barron's a good player? Because I feel as if it's always... Oh, he shouldn't be... in a Rangers team, and he shouldn't be your main player, he shouldn't be your starter. I think Conor Barron was really undervalued last year. I think he played a lot of games last year because guys that were coming in his position weren't doing the same job. And I actually think he's been the best player for Rangers under Danny Rowe. You look at his enthusiasm and his energy to make an impact on the game, his ability to turn the ball over, and I think he's improved a lot on the ball in terms of playing forward quicker, trying to break lines with his passes. I think he's done ever so well over the last 2-3 months.
I was really interested to hear the Danny Rowe comment tail end of last week about seeing Nico Raskan as his number 6. Where does that leave Conor Barron? And if he's to play as the kids say, an 8, is he going to have to try and bring some goals to his game?
Just quickly, did Danny Rowe say that? Yeah, is that what we said?
I said Nico Raskan number 6.
Interesting. I was under the impression, obviously, maybe questionable where I picked the information up from. I thought in January Rangers were going to try and sign a number 6.
No, I think they still
are. And move and maybe look to play Nico Raskin further forward.
This is
forward.
The thing, Gordon. I've been pretty vocal in the fact that I still don't see what Rangers are under Danny Rowe. But a big thing is, what is Danny Rowe's preferred shape? Does he have a preferred shape? Does it matter in terms of what players he has? Because you're talking about Nico Raskin being the 6. You don't know under Danny Rowe if he prefers to play with 1-6 or 2-6s or 3 centre-halves or 2 centre-halves. So again, I think Danny Rowe's Rangers tenure...
He may need to roll 2-6s if he's to get this title on this.
Well, I think it's off to a good start, but I think you'll see a clearer picture of what he wants his team to look like once he gets his own players in.
Stirling, we're all guilty of this. Motherwell have been getting attention because of the way they were playing. They went into the game above Rangers on the table. Then people naturally have been talking about, if Rangers can beat Celtic at the weekend... Have this St Mirren team not shown in recent seasons we shouldn't be looking beyond tomorrow?
Well, St Mirren are a team that are never really playing because they're physical, just good all over the park, well organised. I was wanting to see if I could ask Andy a question at Tremitti. See from the... I don't know if Andy was in the stands watching it, but I think see from the halfway line up to the box, I think Tremitti played really well, but see from the box to the goal line, it's just a bit of a donkey.
Yeah, I think it's kind of been the kind of storyline with Yusuf Chirmiti's game. I think he's got parts of his game that are decent. He's clearly quick, he's powerful, his hold-up play, his link-up play can be so-so, but I think his biggest sort of question mark's got to be in and around the box at this moment in time. I just don't see, not only do you don't see him scoring a lot of goals, you don't actually see him getting on the end of a load of chances. Now, whether that's down to a lack of creativity with Rangers or a lack of confidence for yourself, but it doesn't look convincing to me when he's in promising areas, whether he takes that extra touch or he rushes his shot away. He just doesn't look like a natural goal scorer, but he's 21, he's obviously got plenty of career ahead and plenty of attributes for him to be coached in, but at this moment in time I think Rangers are really struggling at the top end of the pitch.
It's just trying to find
you're picking the team. You're picking the Rangers team to go to Celtic Park. I know we've got a game in between.
See, you're doing
teams.
It. You're overlooking St Mirren.
Who plays for Rangers at Celtic Park?
For me, still Chirmiti. Because I don't
with who round about him? How defensive or offensive does Danny Rowe go?
I think Rangers have to play a back three at Celtic because I don't think at this moment in time Manny Fernandez is good enough to defend in a back two.
Who's the three? Suter, Sterling
and Fernandez.
Not our Sterling, Dujon Sterling.
Suter, Sterling and Fernandez. James Tavernier, Magoma. Raskin, Barron, Moore, Chirmiti.
Why are you overlooking the game tomorrow?
I'm not. I'm
still. Don't like your style. Still doing it.
No, Kasama, yeah.
Not Diamande.
No. Not done anywhere near enough this year, and I'm a Dea Mandy fan.
Sterling speaks about the physicality, which I know sort of offends St Mirren fans and staff at times, but it's a compliment to that they have strengths and they know exactly what they are and they can use them.
Not a good strength of the league cup holders.
I don't think it's ever meant to be disrespectful, but I suppose if you want to take it that way and it allows you to build up a siege mentality and pin it on the dressing room wall, as they say, fair enough. Can they go and cause Rangers problems?
They'll cause Rangers problems. If you're ever going to get St Mirren, I'm not convinced this is a bad time to get St Mirren, because it's almost like after the Lord Mayor's show. You know, they've won the cup. They've had great times, a great performance, thoroughly merited it. Because not just did they beat Celtic, they beat Motherwell and Hearts in the competition as well. But they're struggling for goals in the league just now. They've had a couple of injuries. 0-0 at home to Kilmarnock at the weekend was not the result Stephen Robinson was looking for. They're in the bottom six.
I think he said he's going to change the team a bit as well, hasn't he, to freshen up.
I would think Danny Rowe will view this as a game that Rangers can and should win.
What do you think, Andy, in terms of how St Mirren are equipped to go and sort of hurt Rangers tomorrow? Because we mentioned that earlier in relation to Celtic about maybe it just being a kind of clash of styles, whereas Motherwell are good, obviously, the league table tells you that, but maybe there was elements of it that suited Rangers, because you know Motherwell are going to come out and play, and that maybe leaves other spaces and so on. What do you think it looks like tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I said that in the second half, I think it's as good as Rangers have been in terms of creation of chances. You know, I think they finished with 28 shots on goal. A big part of that is down to, obviously, how we play in Motherwell, the fact that we're chasing the game. But it's going to be a completely different story against St Mirren. I think it's obviously a compliment to themselves, but everyone that plays against St Mirren always talks about how well organised they are, how physical they are. So Rangers are going to have to break down a really difficult St Mirren side. When Rangers have faced teams like that this season, they've struggled. And also, I think an area that Rangers struggle in as well is defending set plays. I think St Mirren are a big side, they're a physical side, they score plenty of goals for cross balls and corners and wide free kicks. So I don't see this as a gimme. Should Rangers win? Absolutely, they should win, but I think it'll be a difficult evening for them. Don't see a lot of goals in it, that's for sure.
No, I don't think, it wouldn't surprise me if it's 1-0, same as it was for Saturday. Interested to see the team he picks tomorrow night, Gordon. I know we're throwing it forward to Saturday. Does John Souter get a start to try and ready him for Celtic Park? Because I agree with Andy, I think Danny Rowe will want John Souter in the team at Celtic Park.
I think he has to play tomorrow. Whether he does what he does, what he done with Dujon Sterling in his return, he plays him for 60 minutes, and brings him off. I think Dujon Sterling's been a good inclusion back into the side. He's obviously got that pace to play the high line for Rangers. Defensively, he's very good in 1v1 situations. I think John Souter's a must to try and get fit and ready for the weekend, and for him to do that, I think he has to play a large chunk of the game tomorrow.
Elaborate on Chirmiti a bit more for us, because we've said that the groundwork has been laid. We now can't see him without really overanalyzing it either way now, because he's either going to continue to not score and people are going to be on him, or all of a sudden he will score and people wonder if that's the, and I know he scored against Hearts, people wonder if that's the sign of things turning. See, because he doesn't have that goodwill in the tank, it feels like, you know, the one where he takes the touch and kind of runs it out, it falls over. And that, you know, that that is so much worse when you don't have the good stuff to back it up.
Part of the problem he has is, at the minute, he's inextricably linked to the Kevin Thelwell era at Rangers. Kevin Thelwell signed him for Everton. Kevin Thelwell brought him to Rangers at the cost of £8 million. He scored two goals, one with the help of Eddie Beach and one that didn't matter because it was in the 98th minute at Tynecastle with a defeat. So he's got attributes. As Andy says, he has got attributes. What he needs is a bumper goal. What he needs is a winner at Celtic Park at the weekend. And if he can start scoring goals, people will start to forget the link to Kevin Thelwell. But listen, it's up to the lad. He's 21 years of age. As Andy says, he will get better. He has got attributes. But I can actually never really remember somebody that needs a big goal more than Yusuf Chirmiti needs a big goal.
Yeah, when I'm coaching kids, I tell kids all the time, you never know what game's going to change your life or change your career. I quite often say that to young boys at Motherwell just now, and I think you kind of get that feeling with Yusuf Chirmiti, just like Roger says, that he needs that one goal, that kind of not career defining, because that's almost too strong, but that goal for him to really arrive as a Rangers striker. And there's no better opportunity for me than an Old Firm game at Celtic Park. He had a couple of opportunities to do so at Hampden, and if he gets a chance again at the weekend, then it's going to be a huge chance for him to kind of kickstart his Rangers career, because there's certainly been moments there, but certainly not enough for the fee that was spent on him.
Great time to get on board on the phones. 01419511025. Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are in the building. Why not join them on the phones? 01419511025. Actually, plenty to talk about, because on a Monday we tend to reflect on the games that have just happened at the weekend, which we can do, but right around the corner tomorrow, some equally big games as well. We've got a January transfer window fast approaching. I did say at the top of the show, I'd love to hear from you Falkirk fans. The Scott Arfield story has been incredible. Started his career there, went down south, did great things, came back to Rangers, fairy tale, signed, hat-trick on his debut, helped you get back up to the Premiership, and now the club have announced he's leaving today. So I wonder what your reaction to that is. Give us a call whilst I give these two the teaser. I think you'll quite like this one, you two. The Crazy Pony has sent it in. He's obviously had a bit of spare time, you know, get the kind of Christmas period there, feet up, Christmas jammies on, just trying to think of some questions for you two. Can you name the last 10 players to have scored for all three of the following? An Old Firm club, a nation that has booked their place at the World Cup, and a current Champions League team. So the last 10 players who've scored for all three of the following: an Old Firm club, a country that's going to the World Cup next summer, and a current Champions League team. Great question.
Wow.
Abdallah Sima.
No.
Oh.
Mm.
Which current Champions League team? Would that be the one that rules them out?
Was it
that was last year though, wasn't it? That was last year, I think. Was it?
Right.
I thought, what is it now? Leo? Can't remember. I'll tell you what, that is a beezer.
It's really good. Because, by the way, you don't need me. Like, the names are completely all, obviously, because they've got good pedigrees, they're all really recognisable. They're not like.
Dembele?
No.
Oh, he's in Saudi, isn't he?
Wow. He's also not scored for France, I wouldn't have thought.
Oh, sorry, he had to have scored for that.
He scored for all of those three things. Sorry. An Old Firm club, a country that's going to the World Cup, and a current Champions League
team.
That
is a belter.
Yeah. Oh. And it's not playoff teams, and teams that are actually of the
teams
42.
That are already
how
booked
far
in.
Back are we going here? Like, Claudio Reyna, too far back, surely.
Yeah, way too far back.
Henrik Larsson.
Too far back.
Too far back as well.
What?
So more recent right. than that.
I'd never need to do this for you two off the bat.
No,
all I'm saying is, right, if we just...
Give us a time frame then.
No, forget that. Just start with countries that you know for sure are definitely going to the World Cup.
Sorry. Does Maeda count?
Because Celtic are in the Champions League.
They're not in the Champions League.
Kieran Tierney. Scored for Celtic, scored for Arsenal, scored for Scotland.
Thank you. Right. We're getting there. Yeah. Finally. Kieran Tierney.
How can I get that?
Unbelievable.
That is some question.
It's a really good one.
What about Derek Cornelius?
Nope. Never scored for Marseille.
He didn't, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's right, okay.
Tell you what, I thought you would get a few more.
Is there a few more update current ones?
I don't really want to tell you.
Okay.
I wouldn't focus too much on current ones.
Okay. Where I'm struggling is I don't know where to start. Do you know what I mean? I don't know where to start thinking about nations.
We need a Champions League table out to see who's actually playing in the Champions League.
Can I suggest, who am I to tell you two top teaser tacklers?
Mm-hmm.
My thought process on this would be, clearly these players have a big pedigree. So yeah. either did big things before they came mm-hmm. to the Old Firm mm-hmm. or have done big things since they left. That would be my starting point.
Mm-hmm. But they're not scored in Old Firm. I'm thinking of the players. So I was thinking of Diallo, not scored in Old
yes.
Firm. Not scored in Old Firm?
Mm-hmm.
No, he scored for the Old Firm.
For the Old Firm.
Oh my God, I can't, right, okay. Right.
So Ivory Coast, and he scored for Atalanta.
I thought they had to have scored in Old Firm.
Right, he scored for Atalanta.
Right.
So that, you see that, yeah. You see that profile, yeah. What I'm talking about. Either they've been at big clubs, they've gone to big clubs. That would be the kind of starting point for me.
Mm-hmm.
Kieran Tierney and Ahmad Diallo. I'll take one more guess if we can.
Fabio Silva.
No.
I had something in the Champions League.
No. He's at Dortmund.
Hmm? No, I'm asking. I actually not.
Yes, they are. I think they maybe got the worst record. Silva won the
award for Barsi. No. Again, would it be worth picking teams that you just know for sure are definitely in the Champions League?
Pedro Mendes.
No, and are maybe not that far from home and that sort of stuff.
I've been thinking of them, believe it or not.
Right, listen, I'll get back to you on it. John is on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, Roger, Andy and Gordon.
Hello, John. How are you?
Good,
John.
Good.
Hope you had a nice Christmas, guys.
Same to you, John. What are you thinking tonight?
Obviously, as you've spoken about there, obviously, Celtic are playing a bit better now, but obviously still very wide open at the back. And me, they've still not got a centre-forward that we should have. So I just heard, obviously, Roger, you'll know more being a journalist. Is there any news in Kyogo or maybe Giakoumakis coming back? Because I know there's talk about the Palestinian boy coming, but I don't think the Celtic board would allow that for some reason. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, which it shouldn't happen, because if Wilfred Nancy, he played with the Columbus Crew, and he seems a good player, this Palestinian boy. So, but I don't think the way the political situation with the Celtic and the Green Brigade, I don't think they would allow him to sign that boy. Just want to know what you think. If you heard that about Kyogo or Giakoumakis,
I must say on that, I think that seems like quite a reach. I don't think there's any reason to believe that is accurate, John's assessment of why that signing happen.
Listen, if Wilfred Nancy wants a reunion with Wesley Mabu Ali, I think that will can happen. I actually think it's
What a debate that would be to have on the phone lines on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Don't know if this is the platform.
Well, listen, I think it's more likely to happen than a return for either Kyogo or Giakoumakis. Celtic, for me, and
definitely no Kyogo. No,
I don't see it. I think Celtic did really well with Kyogo. They got him for a snip. He scored an awful lot of goals, and they sold him for £10 million. And he's done absolutely nothing since he left Celtic. Didn't do well at Rennes, is now on the bench at Birmingham in the bottom half of the English Championship. He'll be on high wages. For me, listen, I've been proved wrong in this show.
Chris Davis
many,
do Celtic
many times.
A wee favour.
Possibly. But for me, I'm not so sure. Giakoumakis, I don't know anything about any talk of Giakoumakis coming back. I think Celtic have had good service from Kyogo. I'm not so sure going down that route again would be a success. But listen, you never know.
Could you see it?
I could see Celtic potentially inquiring about Kyogo. Do I think they'll go down a different avenue? Yes. Am I right in saying that I seen the other day Kyogo hasn't scored a goal for Birmingham? Is that right?
I don't think he has.
Which is pretty
in the league. He got one, I think, in the League Cup. If we talk about these sliding doors moments, he actually scored a brilliant goal in his league debut, did he not? And it got ruled out. It felt quite harsh.
Yep.
And you just wonder if things could have kicked on differently. But he's clearly miles off what people thought.
But I personally don't see it. I think they'll go down a different avenue. I actually said last week that I don't think, might be completely wrong here, I don't think Kyogo's actually the profile of striker that Wilfred Nancy would like. I think he seems to want more of a link-up striker, a more hold-up player, that plays in pockets.
I think Iheanacho actually is a good fit, tactically and technically, but just isn't a good fit. Fitness wise, where he's at in his career,
he's a good player. I mean, you know, look what he's done with Manchester City and Leicester.
But I mean specifically the type of player he is as well.
I think the problem you have is you can't keep him fit. You saw it at Seville, you saw it at Middlesbrough as well. Celtic were kind of boxed into a corner the day after the transfer window closed. Gordon, they had to get a striker who was available, and he had been freed by Seville. He was reunited with Brendan Rodgers. The problem is he can't stay fit, unfortunately, because there's no doubting his quality when he is fit.
Because, Andy, though, you're talking about profile of player, it's also interesting to think about profile of signing in terms of, you know, loan player. Are you trying to steal somebody's star man who are at a lower level and you can do that? Or are you taking someone who's at a higher level and isn't getting a game? You know what I mean? Like, they come down to your level sort of thing. I think someone mentioned it earlier. when you're trying to build, you know, Rangers got a lot of stick for this in the summer. If you're trying to build, you know, kind of new, clean slate, build for the future, there's nothing worse than seeing all these loan signings in. But I do wonder if Celtic in their current state would be a bit more inclined to take that, because Johnston will come back at some point, Carter Vickers will come back at some point, Jota, you know, the striking situation, they just need a solution. They kind of, I'm not saying they need anybody, that's a bit harsh, but
It's like what you said earlier, Gordon, it's the right man. If the right man costs a fee or the right man is a loan transfer, that's what Celtic will go for. I do think the striking department, for me, I actually think they need a long term solution, because at Ian Atcho's age, his fitness issues,
that harder to get in January though, as they say.
Definitely, but it still can be done, like you says, if there is the right personnel there. Centre halves, I can definitely see a short term solution. So whether it be a loan from now to the end of the summer. I seen the news today that Stephen Welsh will remain a Motherwell player to finish out at the end of the season, which is
not tomorrow night.
Why are you saying well? Don't get me worried.
No, was it not just that he won't be recalled by Celtic? But I think, in theory, if somebody wanted to buy him, Roger, no, did I read it wrong?
I'm sort of lost a wee bit as to how this playing for three teams in this season
that's a good point.
I'm not actually sure if he could be sold on.
There you go.
He'd be sold on to Motherwell, but I'm not sure it could be sold on to a third team.
How annoying is that? Every club does it. It's not a criticism of Celtic or whatever. I have wondered generally at times if it should be a rule, but it is. I'm not going to try and get it changed because it's affecting Motherwell this time. You know that Stephen Welsh can't play tomorrow.
I know.
He's been really important for you, hasn't he?
He has.
And no mass when you see, because you wait AFCON, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah. And again, you talk about difficult, January being a difficult window for clubs. You know, Motherwell will be sitting probably with that question mark over their head. Will Stephen Welsh be here for now at the end of the season? Or do we have to potentially delve into the market for a central defender? But, you know, fingers crossed, he remains a Motherwell player. He's been excellent since he came in. Really, really good. And I just felt as if maybe this is, like I say, as I always admit, I'm a pessimist. I'm not an optimist. I always felt like it looked like it would be a formality that Celtic recall Stephen Welsh, given his form, given the lack of options they've got at central defender, given that they don't actually have a recognised right centre half at this moment in time. So the news today that they won't be recalling him was certainly met with a fist pump for me anyway.
Is that the absolute priority, John, a striker?
Well, as Andy said there, I mean, I love Tony Ralston, he's 100%, 200% guy, but this system has been caught out all the time, and the young boy Donovan doesn't seem to be stepping up to the mark, you know what I mean? And I still don't know what we've seen in the young boy Simpson Pusey. He's done all right, but I think he'd be more fitted to that role than the other two guys. But as Roger said earlier on, obviously this boy, I've talked about getting a loan for Bournemouth, he could obviously be a bit of help. But I think if we've got all our players fit, obviously Johnson played under him at Columbus Crew, and like Carter Vickers, etc., blah, 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 you know what I mean? And I think Sarachi would do well in that. I think we'd like Kearney, Carter Vickers and Trusty or that boy are going to try and bring in. But as I say, I would actually love this Palestinian boy to sign with Celtic, honestly, just to see how the board would go. And it's obviously, it's the political situation, but if the guy's good enough, it doesn't matter what wing me, it shouldn't alter the board's thinking about it. If the guy wants, if Nancy wants this guy, the board must back him, no matter who he is.
I must admit, I think John's building that up into some, I don't know if that issue exists.
I would doubt it.
We would need to wait and find out, just for accuracy. It was Montreal where Alistair Johnson crossed paths, wasn't it, with Wilfried Nancy? But John's right, they've certainly crossed paths previously. Could have been an interesting one. Andy gave it the big build-up. If anyone didn't hear it, he's predicting game of the season at Fir Park tomorrow night. So you know what to do. Please gamble responsibly and get yourself down to predict a 0-0.
Not only is he predicting game of the season, he's told Hugh Keevan's Motherwell will win.
Just great. That's what we need. Hugh Keevan's certainty that Motherwell will win tomorrow. But no, it should be interesting. I don't for a second expect you to give it away, and I wouldn't want you to, but we've seen sometimes your manager, he likes to, you know, come up with different ideas, different solutions. And is he going to get creative tomorrow?
I don't know. It remains to be seen. Obviously, one of the most unfortunate things when you're injured is you're not privy to the team meetings in the morning.
Don't
so
believe you.
You don't get all the details. But that's what I always say. That the most important thing is your style of play, because you then can tweak things, and it's not too different to what you're already doing. Everyone kind of fairly familiar with what the information and what's expected of you anyway. And like you said, just came up with a couple of different tweaks against different teams. I think Celtic are the type of team that you probably do need to tweak for. Mm-hmm. How that will look, we'll soon see. And what, like I says, it's said to be a stormer there again.
Again, I've always, even though I, you know, support the so-called wee team, I actually understand this. There's just a supply and demand nature, so it means every single issue at those clubs is sort of scrutinised more. But you know, we're talking about Alistair Johnson being missing and Cameron Carter-Vickers. Yeah. Motherwell's top scorer. Motherwell have a forward that is functioning. Yeah, their top scorer. He was the top scorer in the league. Can't play tomorrow because he's away to AFCON. Stephen Welsh has been Motherwell's arguably best defender. He can't play. And you think, oh, good opportunity for Regan Charles Cook to take Masuanisi's place. He can't. He's injured. That frustration.
You know, I did see today as well. People made a lot of hype at the tail end of the week about, you know, Motherwell going to get a win at Ibrox for the third consecutive season. I didn't realise till today how bad Motherwell's home record against Celtic has been in recent times. It's absolutely lamentable.
I think because they've had some close. I mean, you remember Tom Rogic, Brendan Rodgers the first time. They've had some close.
He done last minute last season.
There's some good performances and some close calls, but no, overall, you're absolutely right. Actually, speaking of the January window and internet rumour and speculation, I'm sure I saw a Partick Thistle account tweeting to say that you were completing the super scoreboard trio.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them mentioned.
Anything you can tell us?
Certainly nothing in it from my side, that's for sure.
Well, there we go.
Focusing on getting back to the training pitch first and foremost.
He's knocked it in the head. Halliday rules himself out of January move to Partick Thistle. Is the back page, are you struggling for a back page tomorrow?
No, we're fine.
You would
tomorrow,
be struggling if that was on it.
Enough links between the two places, you know. Mark Wilson's there, Alec Ray's there.
Even the Tony Watton last
Tony
week.
Tony Watton last week. Gordon Dale has been there for a couple of minutes. Hugh Keevans, having spent his £1,000 to Cash for Kids, I believe is going to see Partick Thistle at Somerset Park.
Your local team now, of course, as well, Partick Thistle.
Yeah, as indeed.
Anyway, right, what about this teaser? This is a great question. It takes a lot to stump these two, and I think the Crazy Ponies managed it. Can you name the last 10 players to have scored for all three of the following? An Old Firm club, a nation that's going to the World Cup, and a current Champions League team. Kieran Tierney's the easy one. Celtic, Scotland, Arsenal. Amad Diallo, Rangers, Ivory Coast, Atalanta.
Van Dijk.
Celtic, Netherlands, Liverpool. That's the one I was trying to.
Jermaine Defoe.
Rangers, England, Tottenham. Well done.
Bit riskier. Cameron Carter-Vickers?
Nope.
Hamza Egerman?
Nope.
I don't think he scored for Holland. Malik Tillman?
Yes.
American, so he is.
By the way, he's got the longest list. Rangers, USV, USA. He scored for PSV, Bayern Munich, and Bayer Leverkusen.
He scored for Bayern Munich, yeah.
Apparently
and Leverkusen? Oh, Leverkusen, of course.
Right, we'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
A brilliant question being sent in on the full time teaser, thanks to the Crazy Pony. It does not need to be as complex as this, but if you want to have your question used on the full time teaser, send us an email, please. fulltime@clyde1.com. Maybe you've got a bit of time off, you can give a few more minutes attention to this and send us an email. We would love to have you, so get involved. What we've got tonight is a cracker, as I said. Can you name the last 10 players who've scored for all three of the following? An Old Firm club, a country that's going to the World Cup, and a current Champions League team. As an example, Kieran Tierney has, in case you hadn't heard, scored for Celtic and Scotland, but of course for Arsenal as well. Malik Tillman ticks those boxes, as does Amad Diallo, Jermaine Defoe, and Virgil van Dijk. You're halfway there.
Mohamed El Younoussi.
Yes, Celtic, Norway, and Copenhagen.
DeMarcus Beasley.
No, not in the last 10.
Timo Weah.
Celtic, USA, PSG, Juventus, Marseille. Absolutely ticks the boxes. Well done.
And your mate?
Nico Cranshaw.
Rangers, Croatia and Spurs. Nice and easy. Two to get. We will get back to it. Speaking of your mates, I put the plea out earlier. No one has trapped yet. Maybe they still will. Maybe they're all in mourning up Falkirk way. Andy Halliday, what about your old pal Scott Arfield leaving Falkirk?
Obviously an element of surprise, given it's midway through the season. You'd expect him to sort of see out his contract at Falkirk. Mm-hmm. But
hard to be surprised when he probably told you, though. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, well, listen, a good friend of mine, a fantastic career. It'll be interesting to see what he chooses to do now. Does it?
He might beat you to Partick Thistle.
You never know.
Who technically lives closer to Firhill out of you two? Only a few hundred yards in it.
It would just be me, I think.
Yeah, I'm going for you as well.
Just be me.
Right, okay. Anyway, that's the worst. That's
fantastic
not a
player, fantastic guy as well. Like I said, had a fantastic career. So whatever he chooses to do now, I'm sure he's gave it plenty of thought. And listen, no better way for me to finish his career, going back to where it all started at Falkirk, like he says, scoring that hat-trick on his debut against Partick Thistle, helping them get back into the top flight for the first time in, what was it, 16 years. The only thing I'll be pretty disappointed is the last goal he scored in his career was against me at Motherwell, so that'll be a huge disappointment.
There you go. Roger, you can probably look at it both ways. You could say, well, look, the fairy tale's still there, job done. Always said he would come back. Did come back, yeah. Got a hat trick on his second debut, yeah. Helped fire the team up to the top flight. The other side is, given that fairy tale, it maybe has ended in a way that maybe people didn't expect, didn't see coming.
Listen, he's 37 years of age. It wasn't going to go on forever. He's, you know, reunion with Falkirk. He's done the job.
I think people thought it would end to the end of the season.
Yeah,
certainly.
I think he's done the job that he was there to do. He came in, he helped them over the finishing line into the Premiership. He's played, he's scored in the Premiership. He has honoured the memory of his great friend Craig Gowans by wearing the number 37 shirt again. I believe the club will now put that jersey back into retirement now that Scott has stepped away from the club. And I'm sure when we speak to John McGlynn later in the week, he will have nothing but praise for the involvement second time round of Scott Arfield. We wish him well in the future. But Falkirk, actually, and I saw them on Saturday, Gordon, they're now at a stage where they will want to kick on again. I asked John McGlynn about January signings. He said he was more than happy with the size of his squad, so it might be a one-out, one-in job. So there's one out today, and I think John will now look to get one in. They're struggling for goals, only one in the last six games. Probably needs an attacking player.
This could be an incredible January transfer window for this show. Because like you say,
so
there has to be, there'll certainly be outgoings as there always is, but there has to be a severe amount of incomings. Especially that you look at the clubs across the top six and what they need in certain positions.
Andy won't want to give us any secrets from his pal. Your sort of guess, Roger, do you think Championship clubs, as an example, will be on high alert for Scott Arfield, or would you expect him to hang the boots up?
We're assuming he's going to hang his boots up there, but we don't know that. You know, it's a good time. If you want to be a free agent a couple of days before the transfer window opens. There will be clubs in the Championship who will take a look at Scott Arfield, because he helped Falkirk over the finishing line last season, and who's to say he's not still got it in the legs to help someone else over the finishing line this time around?
And I've never really bought, you know, it's not automatic, Andy, just because you're a certain age that automatically means you're brilliant experience and that you're able to even pass it on. I think that's too simple, but you know me, I'd imagine very good to have around the place, as they say.
Yeah, brilliant guy, brilliant character. He's the type of guy that he could, no, if he bumped into a stranger in the street and the stranger started to stop them to talk to him, sorry, it'll be the stranger that gets fed up more than Scotty will, because he could stand and talk to anyone for any period of time. So, and listen, like he says, great career, great knowledge to pass on to younger players. So if somebody is to sign him, it'll be a massive asset to not only on the pitch but off the pitch. But I think a lot of that's down to what Scotty wants to do next.
Maybe a career in music, because he's always pined for.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's time.
I think his next signing could be for the Barrowlands, to be honest with you.
A record label, yeah, rather than Partick Thistle. Anyway, are we nearly there? Yes, I suspect we are. Let's try and round off. The teaser's a cracker. This is what you're going to take this into the Motherwell dressing room tomorrow, aren't you? I can just see it now. Can you name the last 10 players who've scored for all three of the following? An Old Firm club, a country that's going to the World Cup, and a current Champions League team. Kieran Tierney, Malik Tillman, Ahmad Diallo, Mohamed El Younoussi, Jermaine Defoe, Timo Weah, Nico Kranjčar and Virgil van Dijk. The two that you've got are both former Celtic players. They are both representing countries that you have already mentioned.
Okay.
And obviously, if it helps you in any way, they're all more recent than Virgil van Dijk.
Stefan Johansson?
Yes. A Celtic, Norwegian. Norway, and Bodo Glimt. Okay.
It's a good one. So, where are we looking now? A Celtic player. Trying to think.
Okay, back
to Josip Juranovic?
No, back to what I said earlier. This one, you don't need to think, oh, is that team in the Champions League? This team's in the Champions League. You know this team is in the Champions League.
It's Real Madrid.
No, yeah, but maybe just, yeah, that, to be honest, that type of tier. Wow. Maybe a fraction below it, but because nobody quite compares to Real Madrid in the Champions League. Yeah, but if we're talking about big five leagues and who would be in the Champions League.
So we're thinking Bayern Munich.
Closer to home.
Man City, Arsenal. Yeah, right.
Well, who finished above them?
Liverpool.
Okay.
Liverpool. Celtic.
There's only a couple of Liverpool players have played up here.
We've got Virgil. Who have we not got?
Andy, right, see on. Virgil's on the pitch and he just looked to his right a bit.
Oh, Frimpong.
Unbelievable. I expected better from you two. Too many Brussels sprouts, I think, over the holidays.
Oh, I did have a lot.
Did you? I'm not a fan.
No. Matt Turner had a lot of them. So you get flushed in it as soon as they're on your plate.
Plenty. All right. I thought that was more of a a bowel movements, right? I thought the show had taken a real turn there just after dinner time. Thank you to Andy Halliday and to Roger Hanna. I think from me, this will be the last one of 2025. It's been for all of us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Andrew McLean is in the hot seat tomorrow. Keep me up to speed ahead of a massive night in the Scottish Premiership. But from us three, certainly Happy New Year when it comes. Look after yourselves. Have a good time. And we'll see you on the other side. But the guys back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. And enjoy the rest of your Monday.